DefineSelf.com.
Calfani Radio. Worldwide.
Oh, Bismillah. Peace and blessings to everyone. Peace and blessings. Let me put this on so you know exactly where you're at. Let's not get it mistaken. Yes, this is the day. This is Wednesday, and this is the 19th element with Dr. Aleem on Calfani Radio. My name is Khalito Muhammad, and if it looks or sounds like I'm a little excited, I am. We're excited because we have a very, very special guest on board today that's going to just add a little bit more value to what we already have been learning and living by for the last couple of years. I'm not going to ruin the surprise. I'm going to let Doctor say the surprise, but I just want to say that y'all already know. So I'm not going to prolong it any longer. No long introduction from Khalito today. So without further delay, let's bring our doctor on. Our doctor, Dr. Aleem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, doc.
Wa alaikum salam, brother Khalito. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm like a kid, you know, waiting to open up presents right now, doc. Sir, how about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm on top of the world. This is very special day. You know, I was just thinking about it. I didn't realize it until just a few minutes before we went on. This is actually the first time we've ever had a guest on the 19th element.
We've
had a guest before. We've had guests on the Your Immunity Project, but never on the 19th element. So this is a first. And
yes,
then
sir.
To have the guest that we have is just so tremendous. So I'm talking about, of course, Dr. Judy Mikovits, PhD. She actually is the voice of science in a lot of areas. Fauci certainly isn't. People have learned how to turn off Fauci, and then he misrepresented himself as the voice of science.
Mm.
And so we want to reverse that misrepresentation tonight by presenting a real scientist and someone who used to work for Fauci.
Mm.
And I'm not going to go into the details of her history. But besides being the author of many books, got a couple of them here, and she's a strong advocate of things that we know about, Paxlovid. But she's the author of more than 50 scientific journal articles. Everybody knows about HIV, and some people know that it's a retrovirus. But if you said, who's the expert on retroviruses? Who is the one that wrote the book? Who opened up this whole new chapter in medicine showing the link between retroviruses and human disease? Well, if you look in the scientific literature, you'll see the name Judy Mikovits everywhere you look.
Mm.
So now she got into trouble at NIH years ago. It's kind of interesting. We've never met personally. Just on, you know, conferences and phone calls. But back 30 years ago, when I was the radical doctor on the outside with Dr. Barbara Justice and Harold Arbery, trying to get some recognition for low-dose interferon from NIH, she was the scientist that was on the inside of NIH. And she was doing the real laboratory work that made Anthony Fauci famous. And I'll let her tell her own story. But she was like the original whistleblower on Anthony Fauci, and she paid the price. She's got the scars to prove it. I got some scars too, but I'll save that story for another day. So without any further delay, let's bring on our special guest, Dr. Judy Mikovits. So now,
right.
Dr. Judy Mikovits, the floor is yours.
Well,
to have Tony Fauci be in some kind of witness protection program. The only thing anybody wants to witness is him in chains, and probably a lot worse. But this is a good show. So, and you know, honestly, for me and in my life, I was just simply a technician. An honest technician with a chemistry degree out of University of Virginia in 1980. And at that time, just before I graduated, the cover of Time magazine was interferon, the IF drug for cancer. Yes. And yes. And I literally was sitting there the day before my birthday in 1980. I graduated May 18th, 1980. And I had a degree in chemistry, and I'm the only thing, I couldn't go to medical school because of discrimination against women at the University of Virginia. And it goes so deep. I tell some of the stories, but yeah, I took 3 D's from one chemistry professor. And I can guarantee you, I didn't get another D in my programs. And every time I came back, he said, "You're still here?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm not giving up because I love chemistry and I'm going to do this. I don't care what you write on that piece of paper." And I was actually thankful that I ended up. So I applied on the Memorial Day weekend in the Washington Post, 1980, for a job to purify interferon at the National Cancer Institute in Fort Detrick in Frederick, Maryland. So here I was. In fermentation chemistry, growing Nemalva cells, you know, cell lines in fermenters, and producing interferon, and producing human interferon, and realizing as we use that a few years later in the Biological Response Modifiers Program, which was really the first translational research institute. It started in late 1982 or early 1983. And that was when I went to work for the discoverer of human disease causing retroviruses, Frank Rossetti. And this is where my journey began with meeting Luc Montagnier. So you just gave me credit for all the human retroviruses, but all I really was a really good mechanic. So these two brilliant men primarily, and the brilliant, lovely Joe Oppenheim, Dr. Joe Oppenheim. So I believe he still works there, but he's probably approaching 90, and just such a lovely man. And we describe him, and we tell the details in our latest book, which is called Ending Plague, A Scholar's Obligation in an Age of Corruption. And so Luc Montagnier, Joe Oppenheim, Chris Shaw, Stephanie Seneff, Frank Schallenberger, Peter Duisberg, you know, we simply talk about our perspectives in looking at the beginnings of the AIDS epidemic, and looking at how to heal with God's nature, and looking at the fact that low dose interferon really was the answer, that you really didn't need very much, that a key answer that we didn't even really appreciate the biological mechanisms because the technologies weren't there yet. But what we did in that research program was, we maybe had an old, it was a grocery store that we turned into like 10 beds in a hospital. And the program had MDs, PhDs, I was a technician, nurses, PharmDs, everybody putting their perspectives. It's your perspective on the data. It's where you come from in your life. And I'm a Native American, I'm of Cherokee Indian heritage. So we knew that I for me, plants and food was medicine. And so, you know, that food God gave us, animals as food, and biological response modifiers and plants to modify those pathways. So we started learning just all about the pathways. And I was really blessed because I never really had to work with Tony Fauci. He funded much of our work in later years of my career, especially when we isolated the mouse family of viruses, the gamma retroviruses, the discoveries of which were so disturbing to the economy of the big pharma companies and the federal government that they had to shut that down and try to destroy all those they had injured with the toxic shots, as we now know, the vaccines, the various drugs, and even using things like type 1 interferon at a high dose or at the wrong time or things like that to cause the injury. And it's like, no, you don't use it at a dose limiting toxicity. So we made these drugs all my life. I pretty much made drugs and from food or enhance the diet. And this was where, you know, Paxamune and type 1 interferons, we now appreciate, and this is one of the real silver linings of COVID, is that we appreciate and we appreciated with my PhD thesis. So I worked, they closed that translational research program in 1987, transformed it, broke it down into nothing that it wasn't as much fun. We were making major discoveries. We had Candace Pert, who had discovered peptide T. So peptide T is simply a small peptide that blocks the interaction of the macrophage, the monocyte macrophage in the T cell. So the innate immune response, you know, is driving the kind of functional T cell you get. Whether you get, we didn't even know. It wasn't until I think 92 or 93 that we had in the mouse, I believe it was Tim Mossman who discovered TH1 versus TH2, one that was more set for viruses. So we started to understand that the adaptive immune response was really directed by the innate immune response, those antigen presenting cells, the dendritic cells. We now appreciate that the plasmacytoid dendritic cell, which is a small population of cells that makes 97% of the interferon alpha, the type 1 interferon, and that certain infections actually cripple, and environmental contaminants cripple the PDC, the plasmacytoid dendritic cell, from being able to produce type 1 interferon. And when it doesn't produce the type 1 interferon, it doesn't tell the B regulatory cell what kind of antibody to make, whether to make IgA or IgG or any of the various subclasses of antibodies. And so this is, but we didn't know any of that because we didn't have the technology at the time. But what we had was good old-fashioned medicine, eyes and ears. We're looking at the patients. And we had some of the first, we had Luc Montagnier's first people from whom he isolated HIV. And he didn't call it HIV. He called it LAV. And lymphadenopathy virus was a slow virus. It was a lentivirus. They don't do much. They're usually dormant and they're there, but they don't hurt anybody. And most people, unless you were the most seriously ill or you were exposed to an awful lot of environmental toxins. So here's this French Canadian airline steward, flight steward, and I'm isolating virus from his saliva. And critical to that, what you just showed with the Governor DeSantis, I feel sorry for those two people in the background with masks, because the one thing that you don't do is stop the production of type 1 interferons in your nasopharyngeal cavity and break down, stop the production of your glutathione, which is made from your body's amino acids, L-cysteine, glycine, and glutamate. And so the mask really not only traps bacteria and allows all viruses to go through, but that cripples as you work harder and harder to breathe. It cripples your ability to function, and it actually destroys, you know, basically some of your type 1 interferon pathways. And we appreciate that, or we appreciated it then and now. But of course, as I learned later about Dr. Joe Cummins, who started Boimmunity and made Paxamune. He was a vet and a PhD, and he made type 1 interferons for animals so that animal viruses wouldn't jump into humans. And so with animal viruses, so here he had a quote in his book that Kent Eikenlively wrote, an entire book about Joe's journey and how important it was. He wrote, "Why did the FDA stop the sale of a product doing so much good, keeping our animals healthy, keeping our food food healthy, keeping them from acquiring viruses. And then they went through and they just found something wrong in an inspection. And he said, then I realized the FDA didn't need a reason. So all the way back in the 80s, you started to see what is this plague of corruption or this plandemic today that's been carefully laid for us to poison our food and to stop us from using biological response modifiers, natural products that we can purify. So Paxamune says bovine proteins, and that's all we're allowed to say, promote healthy and modulate immunity. That's all you're allowed to say. You can't make label claims. Well, they made label claims for experimental shots literally for three decades, not just now. They made label claims about every vaccine that weren't proved scientifically. And in fact, what we've learned now is that the dysregulation of our innate immune signaling, that very type 1 interferon pathway, is the key, you know, to COVID. And I call COVID 21st century acquired immune deficiencies. It's vaccine acquired immune deficiencies. And this is that explosion of chronic inflammatory disease. Joe Cummins has a very serious case. I'm not even sure. I haven't talked to him in a year or so, if he's still alive, of Parkinson's disease. Yeah. But Parkinson's disease is a disease caused not by the infections, but by the dysregulation of our innate immune responses, that we now recognize that. And you're right about Tony Fauci taking credit for my work. My PhD thesis was about the monocyte macrophage. So in 1987, when I started my PhD thesis, the folklore from Tony Fauci and that was we were targeting the T cells. We were using type 1. We were using interleukin 2. We were using CD4 blocking, receptor blocking, because that was the only receptor on the cells. And yet 1 in 10,000 T cells were infected with HIV by any means detectable, and they were all dying. So the medical professionals called that bystander effects. And I said, oh, that's a really scientific term. So I said, well, that's going to be my hypothesis, is there's another shooter. And the shooter was the innate immune system. It was the monocyte macrophage. And that's exactly what Candace Pert had done a few years earlier, because I've been working in the lab 7 or 8 years. So I knew that you block the interaction of with peptide T and of the monocyte and T cell, and you'd never get AIDS. We learned when we had molecular techniques after my PhD defense in 1991, that if you had something called a mutation, a 32 base pair deletion in another receptor called CCR5, a chemokine receptor. Those are trafficking molecules that take fire trucks to the fire. They take the immune cells where they need to go, where the site of tissue injury is. That's why I just kind of explain everything is a war. And so God gave us an air force. You know, we've got our skin protecting us. We've got our gut is our Navy with, you know, all the fluid that goes through, and the shores are there protected. Our nasal pharyngeal cavity is, and what we inhale, our alveolar macrophage from dust, from the air, that's our air force. Well, we're crippling our air force if we can't simply take Paxamune. Mm-hmm. And so we knew at the beginning of all of this, because I have an obstructive airway disease that I was born with, because I'm an identical twin. And in fact, that's how I got into science, because my grandfather got cancer when I was 10 years old, that native, the grandfather on the Native American side. And we were taught as healers that plants were food, and we have photographic memory, so that we didn't have cameras back in Native American days. You had to look at every plant in a garden. You look at the plant surrounding the rose that is beautiful, and you look at the plant surrounding the rose that is sick, and you ask, what's the difference? And then it's usually the weeds that are pulling away the toxins. And now, and what we did was we vilified cannabinoids. we vilified cannabis and hemp, which are very valuable foods and to be used to make fibers and ropes. So we basically vilified anything that was good for us in a natural product way. And I didn't say smoke cannabis because that's heating it up and changing the chemical structure. And that's not of God. So if you take just God's nature and you're for us, the Native American heritage of, you know, the Great Spirit, it's just we had to remember not to deplete the soil, not to deplete the minerals. We haven't rested our soil according to biblical in 7 years. Our soil's depleted of minerals. It's loaded with glyphosate. And we don't have that glutathione healthy because we don't have clean amino acids in our food. So we have to supply that, just like we can't make enough type 1 interferon because we've crippled those pathways by injecting animal viruses. And every single vaccine is a synthetic animal or human virus because they're grown. The viruses must be grown in a host, in a living cell. So they're grown in tumor cell lines that have been in our laboratories for decades. And they're contaminated with God knows what, mycoplasma, mold. We treat them with antibiotics. And we cripple the immune systems. In my case, we did these gain of function studies in order to develop drugs to treat cancer. So those of us who were there, you know, thought we were doing things to attenuate viruses, recognizing it could go both ways, and not realize that Tony Fauci was going to use it for evil. So I encourage your audience and all the young scientists and doctors out there, really follow the Holy Spirit, because when something's wrong, it's wrong. So my first interaction with him was 1984 or so, after we had isolated from the same patients. Remember, you have to isolate it from the same people with the disease, and all the people with disease have to have evidence of the infection in order to consider it causative. Right. That was true in 1982. But it wasn't true in 1992, after we knew about peptide T and we knew about the people who had that genetic mutation in Delta 32 CCR5. They would never get AIDS, no matter how much virus was floating around their body. So one day, Tony Fauci calls on the phone while Dr. Rossetti was out of town. And they thought they shut him down for years after they fired Frank. They only let him work with me. I mean, the joke's really on you. We had this bad woman. In fact, I got riffed from my first job because they wanted me to purify the first human disease-causing virus in an open-air centrifuge. And I said, "You're kidding me." And that was Gallo and Fauci. "No, we don't even know how it spreads. We're not going to put it in a K centrifuge and spin it through the atmosphere in Fort Detrick, Maryland. We're not going to release that virus, Wuhan, Fort Detrick, or any other style. We know how to do this in 1980. So they said, "Do it or you'll be fired." So I wasn't married or pregnant, wasn't planning to get married or pregnant. And so, and my boss was a man. And so the two of us made the product so that all the other young technicians wouldn't be put at risk because they didn't have anything. And you definitely didn't wear a mask and compromise your own immune system. Never. I was in the face of the French Canadian airline, taking it from his saliva. And you'll remember this was when Bill Clinton was in the White House. Mm-hmm. With Monica Lewinsky. And I won't go any further other than to say they said, "Oh, you can't transmit or you can't transmit HIV orally." And of course, oral sex isn't sex. But anyway, we just changed the definition. But we're seeing that now. So Tony Fauci got on that phone and he called me up and he said, "Give us the paper." And Frank, actually, in writing Ending Plague, he said, "Judy, they wanted the isolate." And I was a kid. I was 22. And you know, this is years, decades later. And I said, "You're right. It's give us the paper, but give us the isolate." Why? Because what they did was Fauci and Gallo took it and they made it HIV. They made it grow fast. They made an infectious molecular clone. They made it change so that it didn't stay dormant, so it had different methylation sites, so it had different mechanisms of latency. They did gain a function, and then they spread HIV through the world in a 1992 vaccine program with Redfield and Birx in the military, largely Black. And so what did we learn in with 2000 and let's see, what did we learn in 2014 when we heard about the movie Vaxxed and when Brian Hooker uncovered William Thompson's corruption, confession that in fact, what they found was Black, Hispanic, Native American, Indigenous people of color, if they got the MMR vaccine before they were 3 years old, then they were 2 to 4 times more likely, the boys, to get a diagnosis of autism than white boys. And that was twice white girls or any girls. And so here, all you had to do was wait until different populations with different ethnicities were older, change so that everybody had 3 years old or nobody had 3 years old. And what did the government do when this came out in 2014? Oh, well, Tony Fauci unleashed Ebola that came straight from gain of function Fort Detrick studies that I did in the mid 90s on Sierra Leone and Liberia by way of Christian missionaries. So, you know, and I told Fauci, I was young, so I think my actual words were not quite like this, but some of the letters are the same. I told him to go Fauci himself. And that didn't play very well. The older technicians are, do you have any idea who that was on the phone? And I'm like, I don't care what, you know, that guy's a moron. You know, you don't tell me to do something that's unethical, illegal. And so this is what we have to teach our youngsters. Don't just blindly follow. You know, you have a healing brain. If you're in a profession, do the right thing all the time and you'll always know what it is. Now, we have to speak the truth in love. That, I mean, it took me a long time to learn that. I wish I'd learned that before the last time I got fired for insolence and insubordination. It was funny because insubordination is refusing a direct order to do something immoral, illegal. And I asked my friend, Dr. Jamie, in 2011, when I got fired on September 29th, I said, what's insolence? And she said, you were rude. She said, you were rude. And I said, yeah, probably go Fauci yourself is pretty rude. So I used a different word. I just started using that word because some of the talks that I was going to said I had to find a different F word. And of course, in Frank Rossetti's lab, we never used the G word, Gallower Graduate School, because of what I faced in the misogyny. And we definitely didn't use the word focus. You know, we want to look where the data leads. We look at in nature. We don't focus. We don't do what you tell us to do. And in fact, peer-reviewed science, I used to love laughing at Frank because it was peer-reviewed science. And Frank Rossetti said, I have no peers. That I said, you're right. He didn't. It's like, come on, you know, that was just, you know, now we know the whole peer review process. So this is what we've learned. And, you know, they don't want you to stay together. They don't want you to keep talking to each other. They want you to think I'm completely crazy. And I might well be completely crazy, but the data are the data. And that's the right. Data never change. And one thing I never, ever did was use statistics. Because again, Frank Rossetti quoted some other guy and said, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. You either have a virus, it's either isolated from a person with a disease, and another person who gets the same virus gets the disease. And I mean the same virus. Because what we learned is you change two proteins in the spike protein, and you've got a virus that causes Parkinson's rather than leukemia. That's MLVs. That's the power of the XMRVs. That was the big realization in our discovery, because every single laboratory in the world uses mouse tissues, mouse cell lines, animal cell lines, and they're all in the same incubator. And what I normally do is take a salt and pepper shaker and put them side by side on their sides. And, you know, they have the little three or four holes in it. And so one, the white, the salt is the human cell line and the pepper is the mouse cell line. And what we realized by the end of 2011 is that if you left those cell lines in a humidified incubator overnight, you'd see pepper in the salt shaker. And you've got a 0.2 micron filter. Don't wear a mask. All you're doing is getting yourself humidified, transferring it through the humidity. Dry surfaces, they don't live 20 minutes. All of this has been a lie that we've lived in. But and this is what we basically do in our books, is we basically take pathways. My PhD is in molecular biology and biochemistry. My discovery, the paradigm shifting work was that the monocyte macrophage was the heart of AIDS. If you kept your innate immune system healthy, we added the dendritic cell because Frank loved plasmacytoid dendritic cell. So he did a lot of that work in the lab after I moved to California, after I got married, which is another very funny story that we tell you in several of my books, because I'm like, I'm telling God, no, I'm not getting married. And I did, and I had to see that. I had to come to California. I had to see my algic encephalomyelitis. I had to get chronic fatigue syndrome, inflammation of the brain and spinal cord, which Tony Fauci marginalized, said women can't get AIDS. Do you know the number one killer of women of childbearing age in 2020 was HIV AIDS? Because it spread through the community because he lied. And because nobody looked for any other viruses that caused AIDS or were crippling the innate immune system rather than the adaptive immune system, the XMRVs got missed. So the people who died in the first wave had XMRV and HIV. Can't take out your natural killer cells, your dendritic cells. Type 1 interferon, plasmacytoid dendritic cell. If you infect them, what I used to do is purify plasmacytoid dendritic cells, because if you infect them with HIV, they make interferon. If you infect them with XMRV, they don't. And you know, uh-oh. So those were the people that couldn't make the right antibodies, and nobody knew it because the women were called crazy. And to be fatigued was a problem.
Would you say a little bit more about XMRV and what that actually is?
XMRV is a mouse retrovirus, family of retroviruses, and it was originally discovered by a PCR technique. And so only pieces of the envelope, the spike protein, and the structural region, the GAG. So that's how they designed their PCR in men who had aggressive prostate cancer.
Yes.
And men who had aggressive prostate cancer. And it was Bob Silverman's, he was an interferon guy. And it was his hypothesis that if you had a single nucleotide change in that protein called R462Q, where the arginine was changed to glutamic acid, I think that's Q, in that enzyme, RNA cell degrades RNA-DNA hybrids, which when you write the message and reverse transcribe it into DNA, that's your retrovirus. So you're going to gobble up all retroviruses by your Pac-Man in the periphery. And so he hypothesized they might have a virus. And then Joe DeRisi at UCSF had a technology where you had pieces and parts of all the family of viruses there, and up popped the murine leukemia viruses, which were Sandy Rossetti, Dr. Sandy Rossetti, Frank's wife. That was her work. He was always mouse and she was always mouse and we were always human. And this is because Frank didn't want misogyny to take credit from his wife's brilliant work. So they didn't work on the same thing. Each of them probably published 400 papers. And I think only the XMRV science paper and one other in their early careers when she discovered the envelope alone, the spike protein alone causes disease. So you don't need an infectious virus if you injected it. So the XMRVs were simple retroviruses, gamma retroviruses. And all I did was look at the pathways. I looked at the signature, the cytokine signature of disease. I'm looking for that same inflammatory signature from the Zaire strain in the monocyte that was deadly in Ebola to the non-pathogenic Reston strain. You know, I don't know how the bats got to Reston, but you'll have to ask Virginia, but you'll have to ask the CIA. So here, my one of my jobs, and I have a publication on it, and I show people in a lot of the interferon talks, was, you know, infect primary human monocytes after my PhD. I did this in the mid 90s and show the site, the difference between the non-pathogenic and the pathogenic. What are those two amino acids that change that give you Parkinson's disease versus cancer? And this was the murine leukemia viruses. So it was these viruses that were the most pathogenic. And in the case, it was the exact same cytokine storm that they're calling COVID. Wow. And so it's not the infection. It's the dysregulation of the innate immune response. And simple fixes are Paxlovid. If you have and you get sick, all you have to do is spray it in your, I spray it in my nasopharyngeal, I spray it in the back of my throat. I tell people avoid the positive test, just spray the Paxlovid and drink a little borax and you'll be a little good tequila and you won't ever test positive. but this is the thing, because it's not the sequences that cause the disease. So the problem became with the XMRVs, if that was 2005 that they made their discovery, and I was working making natural product drugs for prostate cancer with Johns Hopkins, and we have a patent on using combinations of plants. And they're actually the same plants that'll work for Ebola and everything else. Ganoderma, Lucidium, Saliva, you know, just plants. And using them low dose to support the immune system while you add, when you add the toxic drug. You can use the missile, but support the rest of for collateral damage. Support the surrounding community so you're not bombing the women and children. I'm just common analogy from the TV screen behind me. XMRV story, they made an infectious molecular clone in 2005. And that was the first time they ever made an infectious clone before they isolated the virus. And so bad. Because what we found out is we isolated the virus, because I took one look at it. I'm doing both kinds of research, prostate cancer research and chronic fatigue syndrome. We founded the WPI. I co-founded it in 2006. So I knew the work. That's what I do. I work. Viruses don't cause disease without dysregulating the immune system. And they're usually animal viruses or other humans' viromes in the wrong place. It's real estate. Location, location, location. So don't express them, because what I only learned serving in vaccine court in between 15 and 19, before they kicked us out of there, they said there's no such thing as a cytokine storm and the injection stays at the injection site. Well, we blew that all out of the water with COVID, didn't we? So it's all good because the truth comes out. But at any rate, so what they did to me was they destroyed my career. We isolated the viruses, but we isolated many variants. The PCR wasn't exactly the same. The clone, the infectious molecular clone, while you'd get the same bands when you looked at this conserved region, the rest of the virus wasn't the same. And you can't tell the difference between Omicron and Delta. All you're looking at is the envelope. And you won't see different, you'll see different strengths and affinities and annealings and bands. And we put all of this in our original paper. So you can tell where we hit the nerve, because everybody, when they took down XMRV, they actually wrote a paper in 2017 and said, you can't do PCR for XMRVs and their association with ME-CFS. Well, we didn't do PCR. Bob Silverman and Joe DeRisi did PCR. And that was the only figure that should have been retracted from the paper. And they forced us to put it in there in the beginning, and it never was that virus. So when we isolated the clone, when we isolated the viruses and several variants from people who got sick. So now we're starting to understand the pararetroviruses that are HHV6A. That's HHV6 with a retrovirus integrated in, probably the envelope. And EBV with XMRV, I discovered that in 1999 when I first went to the Lab of Antiviral Drug Mechanisms, and it would transform human B cells, make them into tumors quicker than anything we could. It took a lot to make a tumor line from a patient cell, and that virus scared me. I wasn't afraid of anything, but you wave that virus in front of a cell and it was a cancer. And I now appreciate, I'm sorry, because they autoclaved out all the trash and we don't have all the isolate, so we can't go back and look. But I think all of our recombinant technology in our laboratories for the last 40 years has caused this explosion in disease, because we've all been injected with some of these. And yeah, it's only a testament to our God-given immune system. So the natural isolate wasn't the infectious molecular clone. So they hammered me when we realized that the opinion article in Science by John Coffin and Jonathan Stoye, two of the people with Wellcome Trust wherever John Coffin worked, they went after me with a vengeance, because they wrote, one new virus, how many old diseases can we target and cure? So they all wanted the money. They lost HIV to Tony Fauci and NIAID, and the National Cancer Institute wanted to keep it. It's a bunch of little boys playing credit games, really. So what 2011, and as we saw how heavily the blood supply was contaminated because they'd ignored the women and children with CFS, said it's not a contagious disease. It's myalgic encephalomyelitis. It has nothing to do. They're just crazy. Yeah, they can give blood. And they were spreading this through the population. Almost 10% of the Oakland area, right around an Oakland Children's Center where we did a blinded study with a company, almost 10% of the blood was contaminated. So when you had diseases, blood diseases, hemophilia, and things like that, you got multiple transfusions and you got sick and died. And we knew this from Ryan White in the movie The Band Played On, I think it was, and then the Dallas Buyers Club will teach you about peptide T. So between peptide T and Paxamune and cannabis, marijuana as food, we would have never had the AIDS epidemic. And the same thing's true for COVID right now. So the mouse viruses are in everything. And I can show you the sequences. That's what Omicron is. It's mouse. So one of the fabulous, still the best day in my life will be the day that science paper finally published. Actually, I should say the best 2 days, the day I got married, October 7th, and the day that science paper published, October 8th, different years. But at any rate, 2009 was that paper. And it was the shot heard around the world. It's the oh, my God, because all the smart doctors saw exactly what I'm telling you here. And so
we're winding down here. We have 15 questions? Minutes left.
Okay.
And maybe I wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah.
You covered a lot of material.
Yep.
And some of it probably went over my head, and I'm sure it went over other people's head as well. But you made a statement, and I want you to elaborate a little bit more. You said that a virus is not needed, that the spike protein does all the damage. You made a statement to that.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate a little bit more?
Well, you don't need an infectious and transmissible virus, because the envelope alone, which we've now called the spike protein if you're a coronavirus, but the envelope alone, that's the only part. So if you know a virus is a lipid bilayer from the host cell, and what pokes through the bilayer in HIV, it's glycoprotein 120. That's the only part your immune system sees as non-self. Mm-hmm. So that's what causes the disease. That's if that's interacting with your endogenous expression of human retrovirus, gamma retrovirus, endogenous retrovirus W, that is the syncytin gene. That's the envelope. It cross-reacts with the envelope of the mouse gamma retrovirus syncytin gene. And it's that gene from our own endogenous that is the Velcro that holds the fertilized embryo into the uterus cell wall. It's Velcro. And so when the gene goes off, so young women are going to express syncytin. And if you believe Luc Montagnier, we have an endogenous HIV in that in that virome that is 8% of the stable genomic elements all the time. So if you inject another animal's envelope for HIV, you're going to produce an auto-inflammatory or an autoimmune response to that, and you're going to destroy your own tissue. It's molecular mimicry, it's too close, and you start, this is the expression. People have realized that there's a protein called TDP-40. And everybody's saying, oh, TDP-40 is what causes Alzheimer's. And I said, that's TAR DNA binding protein from HIV. Come on. You know, and so they're just recreating science by changing the term. So the envelope or the spike protein alone is the only thing your immune system sees as non-self. And so in the spike protein of COVID, the weaponized, the bioweapon SARS-CoV-2, the left-hand side was HIV-GP120. The middle was syncytin, HERV-W, or the mouse synthetic ones. It really doesn't matter if you make it similar enough. And on the right-hand side was SARS. So they call it SARS-CoV-2, but it's a synthetic virus grown in a monkey cell. So in that case, our bodies will react against it because the virus is really monkey lipids. And so we'll have even stronger responses. So if so the envelope alone. So I usually say in my slides, you don't need infectious virus if you injected it. So every vaccine you can never do another injection, never. No matter how they weaponize it, get it through your nasal pharyngeal cavity, on your skin, HPV, in the keratinocytes. HPV does not cause cervical cancer. 99.9% of us have HPV, and very few of us ever get that. And I'm sure you men never get that. And you have HPV as well. So it's just one of those things that we have to understand. So the spike protein alone causes disease. So they scared us into that. And then they simply put the spike protein in a synthetic virus. And injected it into all of us. Yes. And now they're giving us AIDS, vaccine AIDS. But the good news is we can fix it with Paxlovid in part.
Now, what's in the news today, of course, is the discovery of bioweapons laboratories in Ukraine. Do you have any comment on that?
We knew they were there. Yes, because many of my friends, in fact, it's really interesting because half of our colleagues are either Chinese or Russian. You know, we worked with all, I won't say their names, but all through my career at Fort Detrick, most of our laboratories are Chinese or Russian or Ukraine, our heritage. We say we're giving them the technology to take it back to their labs. And there were actually a lot of what's being bombed is either Hunter Biden's pedophilia rings. You know, so who's really killing the kids, you know, and they're destroying some of what's being destroyed are those bioweapon plants so that they don't inflict them on the rest of the world. So everything's not what you see. And if you couldn't believe a word of CNN or any other news agency with respect to COVID, which it really is a murder of everybody they injured with vaccines over the last 40 years. That's your first, those are your first people who are going down. That's what we're seeing. Anybody with a myocarditis, anybody with an inflammatory disease, all the autistic kids, you can't put an autistic kid in a mask, they'll die. They do. They're dying in the middle of the night with a seizure. I mean, this is just beyond criminal. So it's kill. And then, and as we know from Melinda Gates, oh yeah, let's give it to all the healthcare workers. They deserve it. And I mean, I literally had in the PowerPoint I presented to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, December 18th, 2020. Yeah, I presented to him what went across CNN about the guise and Children's Health Defense under the guise of some kind of racial equity. We're going to give it to Black people and mentally ill people first. No, you can't do that. No, that's not Rachel. And they said it there. They acted like a virus knew the difference between a Black man and a white man. And it doesn't. It only knows your immune system. So here they twist everything in order to drive a narrative. And, you know, I'm blessed at how well I just could not believe. I never met anybody like Minister Farrakhan, because, boy, he synthesized. We had 18 doctors in that room, and he came back at the end of the day and said, I got it. keep them latent, keep them dormant, keep your innate immune system healthy, and you're just fine. And it's like, yeah. And so, and who, what did Tony Fauci do? Oh, he said, oh, it's okay, Black community, because a Black woman helped develop this vaccine. Yeah, and it's just like me being there. That's misogyny. It's like, stop that. You know, come on, you know, that's, and this is what he did to me all those years, and just stop funding the programs. And I'm sure he put the warrant, you know, down that for my arrest and for the Ninth Circuit Court, you know, they're all working together and everybody's paid off. And I don't really care because God wins and I don't need money to live. And we're just fine because, you know, we know eternity's a long time and love wins.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. This has been very enlightening. I think you've seen some of the comments scroll at the bottom. So people are very excited. This is some real science and some real history. And of course, your personal feeling and viewpoint is so refreshing. And it's quite different from what we're used to from the official sources. So why don't you take a few minutes and tell us about the books you have and what you're doing and how people can get in touch with you.
Well, I'm really excited to say we've written three books, Plague of Corruption and Ending Plague. And our last book, which we already have half written, is Ending Plague 2, God Wins. that's Plague of Corruption. And that's our website, plaguethebook.com. But my real, the thing I'm most excited about is we finally got back in touch with you because I've been trying to reach you since they took Pax Immune away from us. And we recognize how important it is. So we've started something at therealdrjudy.com. We started something called Get Healthy Store. And the folks who manage Get Healthy Store, actually a cancer survivor founded it, who didn't know how to support his immune system after chemotherapy. Remember, we can win. So with Get Healthy Store, we take all the good manufacturers and all the things we know that can really help these people clean food. It's just food. This is just food. It's not medicine. We're not giving a commercial. And Dr. Tracy is a clinical nutritionist. She's, I guess, second in command or so. So a clinical nutritionist and a naturopathic doctor who ran Trinity Health and other things, was at Trinity Health in Illinois. So she's just moved to Get Healthy Store now. And she's like, and we're introducing them to fabulous products every day. And so the real Dr. Judy, Dr. Judy, not doctor spelled out. So the real drjudy.com from that comment there, the real drjudy.com. And you're just going to see click on products and you can just go to all the wellness, clean glycine, clean glutathione building blocks, clean L-arginine and things you need to make nitric oxide pathways to relax endothelial, cardio miracle. There's another product there called Berkeley Life, Berkeley Fit. We don't discriminate. We simply, everybody who calls me, that's why, I always tell everybody my phone number because I want to know about all the great things because there's so many lovely people. That's it. There's so many lovely people out there who want to help and we can change the whole paradigm and show them that love wins.
Okay. Well, it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience hearing you talk and sharing with all of our listeners and viewers your experiences and your viewpoint. And it's just been just a wonderful, wonderful occasion. And we have to have you back.
Thank you.
Obviously, you didn't tell us everything you know.
You only gave me an hour.
So we have to have you back and you can tell us some more. So thank you very, very much for being with the 19th Element.
Thank you. I'd love to return. Thanks so much.
Yes. Brother Carlito, you going to close us out?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everybody. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you just gracing everybody in the comments is just loving everything. And they're very, very active. Yes, we need to have you back. Maybe we can have you back when we have the end of the month special 1 month and then just let you go for it. So thank you so very much, Dr. Both of y'all. Thank you so very much. And we will be putting this on repeat, 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 repeat. Peace and blessings.
All right.
Peace and blessings.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. See you soon.
All right.
Kalfani Radio, worldwide.
Define self.com.